Good morning, Carpenter Shop family. Good morning. I'm happy to be here with you all today. I want to welcome all friends and family. I want to welcome all guests. Feel free to sing along with us and stand with us today to worship.
Faithful, His promise is true. Hallelujah.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
welcome you to the altar. And at the altar, you're not alone. If you want to cry, we'll cry with you. If you want to shout, we'll shout with you. If you want to kneel, we'll kneel with you. Because here you're not alone. So as you take this time to connect with him, to feel the Holy Spirit,
presence today. We thank you, Father, that you are in our midst. And Lord, not only in our midst today as we join together, but that you've been with us all week. You've been with us through the times that we face those mountains. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue, Father. Continue, Lord, to stir within us the joy of salvation. Continue, Father, to stir within us the need for communication with you and closeness and relationship. God, let us never forget that your presence is with us. And we can call on your name at any time. We give you praise. We give you honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to see you, Carpenter Shop International Church. We sure love you, and I know a lot of you have been vacationing while your kids were out of school, and it's that time of the year where we get back into the swing of the norm, if there is such a norm. I want to share with you today that our praise team has just been doing an awesome job, but did you see what they set us up for today? They started out with speak to the mountain. And when we come against a mountain or a problem, we're to speak to it and not about it. How many of you are like me? We gotta tell it, we gotta tell it, we gotta tell it some more. But guess what? If we speak to that problem, that situation, instead of speaking about it, speaking about it ain't gonna do nothing but make you feel bad. But when we speak to that mountain as God commanded us to, then it can be moved. It can be cast into the sea. It can be cast away. I love that. I love that. Faith comes first, and then the words follow, right? Amen. And then they set us up with Holy Spirit, and they just invited the presence in. And y'all felt that. I saw your hands raised. I heard your voices crying out to the Lord and just worshiping together. And that is what our praise team does every week. They bring us into the presence of God. They allow us to feel that awesome spirit that we have today and that closeness as a family as we join together. And I love that. Thank you, praise team. Thank you so much. Yeah. And don't go anywhere because we're going to use you. Stay right there. Lance, they might leave me up here. I want to share with you some things that are coming up this week. And I know that many of you probably already know that tonight is our night of worship at Askeville Assembly of God. It's right down the road, just a ways, 15 minutes if you drive like Pastor, 20 minutes if you drive like me. But it starts tonight at 6 o'clock. Pastor will be speaking at their night of worship tonight. So we would love for you to come and support him and enjoy a night of worship at 6 p.m. at the Askeville Assembly of God Church. If you need an address or a location, just text, Google, that's even better. And you know, upcoming we have September the 9th and 10th and married couples. You need to listen to this and you need to set your dates. September the 9th and 10th, we will have a couples connection and a worship service with Alvin and Joy Slaughter. The combination of Alvin and Joy, you will enjoy. It's like when you have a caramel frappe, but you add the Cool Whip on top. That's Alvin and Joy. You got good, but then you get gooder when you add the other one. So come be prepared. That Saturday from 9:30 to 12, it will be a couples connection. And then the following Sunday at 10 a.m., Pastor Alvin and Joy will share with us as a congregation. So you couples and those that are preparing marriage, be there Saturday and get a little of the Alvin and Joy show is what I love to call it. I watch them on video and see their little clips, and I'm always thrilled at the real life that they live and the real God that they serve. All right, at this time, we're going to share in another way of worship. We're going to give offering. You can come forward and place your offering and tithes into the boxes up front.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Trust in God, my Savior.
Come on, stand, sing with me.
And he heard, and he answered. That's why I
Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Come on. He will direct your path. Come on, worship God. Sing it again, man. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord.
I trust in God. I heard and He answered.
I'm sorry.
And He heard.
Trust in the Lord because He hears us when we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless You today. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. We thank You that You are omniscient. You know us. You know everything about us, God. The hairs on our head are numbered, Lord. The Bible says that not a sparrow falls to the ground without Your awareness. So, Lord, we trust You with our lives. We trust You with our whole being. Lord, help us to wait on You and have our strength renewed in Jesus' mighty name. Come on today, remain standing with me for a second. Today I'm preaching a message that I've titled, Hurry Up and Wait. Hurry up and wait. How many of y'all know what it's like to wait? Better question, how many of you right now, you'd say, Pastor, there's something that I'm waiting on God for. Come on, just right all over the building. I'm waiting on God. You know, I'm so glad to see you today, Corey. Corey's been sick this week, but hey, guess what? The bed wouldn't keep him down today. He's in the house. Come on. Corey, would you do me a favor and just create a backdrop for the message today? There's a song that that's out there where Maverick City sings it. It's called Wait On You. Come on, man. Sing. Come on, give it up for Corey as he comes. Come on, off the script, y'all. Off the script. I'm going to wait on you. Just remain standing. And let's worship Him. Give Him your all today. God's going to do something powerful. Hallelujah.
I don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I've outgrown them. But that doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's something bigger than me. Because I've seen it. In a hospital room, when the doctor said sorry, there's nothing more we can do. But it wasn't true. I've never seen a heart of gold at the end of a rainbow. But I've got a promise I can hold in the middle of the struggle. God, if You said it, You perform it, may not be how I want You to. Here's what I'll do, I'm gonna wait on You, yeah. I'm gonna wait on You, Jesus. I'm tasting Your goodness, trusting Your promise. Trust you. It gets hard, but we wait on him. It hurts, but we wait on you. 'Cause you will renew our strength. So we'll wait right here, Jesus. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Your goodness is faithful. Your goodness is consistent. So I'm gonna wait on you. When I don't understand it, I'm gonna wait on you. 'Cause I've tasted his goodness, trusting his promise. I'm gonna wait on you. We'll wait on you. Church with hands lifted all over this room. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. It is us, your people, standing before you, oh God. Lord, I'm not sure, I'm not aware of all of the things that my brothers and sisters are waiting on, but what I do know is that you are faithful. What I do know is that your promise says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on like eagles on wings and soar. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, Father, while we're waiting, I ask that you renew strength in this room. Father, while we're waiting, I ask that you renew joy in this room. Father, while we're waiting, while we're waiting, while we're waiting for that transformation, while we're waiting for that soul salvation, while we're waiting for that breakthrough, Father, restore us the joy of our salvation, the joy of our salvation. Let glory be released in this room. Glory, glory, glory. Wherever we step, glory. Wherever we walk, glory. Whatever we say, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory's coming out of this. Glory's out of this waiting. Glory, glory, glory. Your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Father, while we're waiting, while we're waiting, in our hurt while we're waiting, restore our joy while we're waiting. And church, I don't want to be up here standing long, but whatever it is that you're waiting for, whatever it is that you're believing God for, I don't care how long it's been, how long you've been waiting, because he promised it, it has to come to pass. Because he promised it, it has to happen. So I encourage you this morning to remember that the Lord has not forgotten. And once it happens, you'll see why he made you wait. Amen. Does anybody believe that this morning? Can you worship a God who fulfills his promises?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ask a few people to stand. Pastor Troy right here, second row. Would you please stand up, sir? Praise God. Pastor Richard, Pastor Rhonda, would you guys stand up? Pastor Brenda, would you stand up over there, Pastor, beside Pastor Mike? We've got ministers in the house today. Come on, guys. Give them a hand of appreciation for being with us today. God bless you as you worship with us. We thank God for you, for the assignment that you have on your life. And just glad you're here today. God's going to speak to us today. Come on, tell your neighbor, God's going to speak. Come on. God's going to speak. We're so glad you're here. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for inviting people to come tonight. Askeville Assembly of God, just randomly, just wasn't long-range planning. They just planned. All of a sudden, they just said, hey, Pastor said, hey, let's have night of worship three nights in a row. So, they just planned it, you know, just kind of quickly. So last night they began with a night of worship at 6 o'clock. Tonight, somebody say tonight, 6 o'clock, and he rang me on the phone this week and said, hey, man, would you come in and drop a word on us? And God's, you know, he talks about the things that God has done in our house and in our fellowship and in our ministry over the years. And he said, I just love you to come and speak to our people. So you guys want to hang out with me tonight, man, 6 o'clock, Askeville Bryant Street in Windsor. It's actually before you get to Windsor. Askeville is a hamlet on the left-hand side at Buena Vista. Come on. Sounds like a place in Florida, don't it? Come on, Buena Vista. Buena Vista. But it's not. So join us there at 6 o'clock. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to worship the Lord. Going to pray. Going to believe God to bring a prophetic word to the house tonight. So I'd love to see you. If I see you, I'll wave at you. Come on, y'all. Hey there. How my peeps doing? Come on, y'all. So we're just glad you're here today. Father, bless us now as we wait on you. Hurry up and wait. Seems like, Lord, we find ourselves in consequences, circumstances that require really nothing of us. We're powerless to do anything. We're incarcerated by the moment, the circumstance. We really don't know what to do or how to do it, how to relieve where we are. In fact, somebody, I'm speaking right now, when I just said that, you're incarcerated by the moment. You're shackled, you're chained. I hear the Lord saying you're shackled, you're chained. But you never spent a night in jail your whole life. But you feel imprisoned. Okay? Come on, stand up if that's you. Just stand to your feet. You feel imprisoned right now. Come on, I know God just specifically, there you go. Anybody else, just stand up. You feel imprisoned, you feel chained, but you never spent a night in jail in your life. Pastor Joy, would you go over here and pray for Sister Outlaw? Mother Jenny, would you go pray for Janet Cherry here? Would you do that? Pastor Mike, would you pray for our brother right here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit to the body. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Somebody's going through something. Let's just minister to them for a moment. You can stretch out your hand that way. Just believe God to touch them. We're going to preach in a moment. We ain't in no hurry. Come on. No hurry, no worry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. The Lord says, I'll deliver you from the noisome pestilence. I'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night, declares the Lord. The Lord says, I'm with you. I've sent my angels, dispatch my angels to guard you in all your ways, declares the Lord. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, he says. And he sends release today to you. Those of you that are watching online, he sends release today to you. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. No, no, no. I don't have to understand. But I know God. I know God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And as you diligently seek the Lord is going to send you release. He's going to break the chains. We sang about it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God is good. I want to speak a message to you this morning that I've entitled, Hurry Up and Wait. The Lord spoke this to me during the early part of last week. And I just begin to inquire, Lord, what are you trying to say? And I realized that you know, God just really wasn't going to give me a whole lot of information. He said, you have to trust me here. Lord, hurry up and wait. I'm waiting on you, by the way. Okay. And so I began to receive a download throughout, even up to yesterday. I even asked help. I asked a couple of friends of mine, hey, what does the Lord say to you about waiting? And I said, I want to use your comments in the message today. I want you to travel with me in your mind's eye to that long anticipated. Some people are on it today. That's why we still got a few seats here. Vacation time. Travel with me in your mind's eye. You're on that long anticipated vacation to Walt Disney World. How many of y'all been to Disney World? How many of y'all been down there to see Mickey and the boys? Come on. Beautiful Orlando, Florida. I've been to Disney World in California and Orlando, Florida. Both, I'd rather go to Florida. Your family's in the car for 12 long hours, traveling from the Tar Heel state of North Carolina to the Sunshine state of Florida. It's traffic. It's bathroom breaks. It's construction slowdowns. It's stopping for lunch. And, well, it's a long wait. Are y'all with me? Are you in the car? Buckle your seatbelt, y'all. Don't want no ticket. All right. And you finally arrive after your long day of travel. You finally arrive. You get dinner. You go to the hotel because tomorrow is the big day. You're going to Disney World, y'all. You get up, breakfast, just a little breakfast in the hotel. Then you hop in the car to go to the Magic Kingdom. You get in line again for tickets. You should have got them beforehand. But you get in line for tickets, and it's a wait. The lines are long. You parked in the Mickey parking lot or the Donald parking lot. You've been there, man. They got a parking lot named for every one of them animals, them rascals. You park, but you're closer than you've ever been. You're in line to get tickets. And you're finally in. And you pull out the map and you follow the sign to the most exciting roller coaster that there is in the park. It's called Space Mountain, y'all. Come on. Let's get excited. Where you drop 108 feet at one time going 60 miles an hour. Where your teeth and your nose end up around your waistline. Come on. Come on. Y'all been on them roller coasters? I love them things, man. I love them things. Hit me with your best shot, man. Throw that throttle to the floor. You're finally there. You're at the entrance to the ride. Here it is on the map, Space Mountain. And you see a little sign that kindly says to you, you have approximately 1 hour wait from this point. Come on, come on, come on. Now, unless you were smart enough to buy the fast track, then you just walk beside those people and go, see y'all, I'm on fast track. I got blessed with fast track one time, man. It's nice. I'll never go back there again without a fast track ticket. Thank you, Abigail. We just told her, look, you buy the stuff, we'll send you the money, okay? And she bought the best. I'm not going to tell her that no more. So you wait. You got an hour from when you get on the seat. You wait. All the riding in the car from North Carolina, all the waiting in line to get your tickets, all the standing and the sweating and the Space Mountain roller coaster ride, and you finally get your seat and you pull down the bar and you're off, man. You're riding the Space Mountain roller coaster. It's taking your breath and it drops you and it finally comes to a screeching stop as you travel for a grand total. You've been 2 days, man, 12 hours in the car waiting in line. You did 2 days so you could ride a roller coaster for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And then your brain goes and tells you, what a rush. And then what do we say, Reese? Want to go again? Come on. And so you go all the way back to the line and you see that sign again. You have approximately a 1 hour wait from this moment. See, we don't have no problem waiting for stuff like that. But you go waiting on God for something that he's promised you. Come on, y'all. You don't have any problem waiting for what you want. But waiting for what God wants is another story. Waiting. God always has us waiting. He has us slowed down. He has us in a rest area. He has us in a sabbatical. If you're in the ministry, he's put you on the side for a few months. Or maybe, you know, let's think about this in the natural. Maybe you're just in Walmart. It's busy and you wait. And then you get all feisty. Come on, where's all the cashiers here? They need to hire some folks. Well, they've solved that problem. Now you got self-check where 25% of the theft and the thievery goes up in these retail stores because people walk out the door and they don't pay. So guess what happens? Prices go up to compensate for thief and loss. Come on. That's the society that we live in. Not going to get any better. That's why you need to get a hold of Jesus, because times are going to be tougher in the future. Can I prophesy to you this morning? Waiting. One day, I'll get my driver's license. But now I can't because I'm 13. But soon I'll be 16. Isn't it interesting how you ask a kid, how old are you? I'll be 14 February. They always go to the, come on, y'all, they always go to the next year up, y'all. They want up. You ask somebody 65, how old are you? 60s. 60 what? How old am I, honey? You ask your wife. You know? So one day I'll get my driver's license when I'm 16. What a weight. Or maybe your weight is in the spiritual arena. You know, there can be, let me say this, don't forget this. This is the smartest thing I'll say the whole message. There's some long lines in our lives that fall under spiritual waiting. Some long lines. Waiting on that relationship. You know, God promised you a husband. God promised you a wife. The right partner. And you're just waiting. Or waiting on the fulfillment of God's promise that he's going to save your household. Your son and your daughter are still out there. You have evidence that they're still out there in the world. And you wonder, why, God? Because you promised me all the way from the Philippian jail. You promised me my household. And I've not seen them saved yet. Waiting for that breakthrough. Everybody else seemed to be getting a breakthrough. They're driving nicer cars, living in finer homes, and I'm still stuck where I am. Same hourly wage I've been making for a long time. No raise, no breakthrough in employment. God, where are you? I'm tired of waiting on the promise. Waiting, listen, waiting is wondering. Spell it with me. W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. Waiting is wondering. When is God going to come through? Waiting is also wandering. Spell that with me. W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. Meandering around here and there, round in circles. Did you know that if the children of Israel would have followed God the way they should have followed him, they could have been in the promised land in 11 days. But 11 days translated to what? 40 years. Wow. I'm going to wait on you. Well, long journey. So it's wandering, but it's also wandering, meandering around the winding road of who, what, when, where, how and why. Come on, y'all been down their path? Who, what, when, where, why, and how. You got the spirit of a newspaper reporter. Hurry up and wait, right? And yet the Bible does address waiting. The Bible does talk about waiting. In fact, the Bible has precious promises that involve the posture, the position of waiting on God. The Bible has people in it just like you and just like me who had to wait at times, who had to put their lives on hold, who had to spend some time in a season of, here we go, trust. Just have a season of trust. And some of them did well, while others didn't do so well at times. I'm going to look at one scenario this morning. I mean, I was working this sermon, and I was writing down this and that and the other, and the Lord said, put your pen down. Stick with the first thing I gave you. I said, okay, well, what about Joseph? What about David? He said, don't worry about them. You talk about Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham today. Abraham waited. Abraham waited a long time. Okay? In fact, Hebrews chapter 6 about halfway the part of verse 9, I call it 9b through 15, says this: we are confident. Now take this for yourself now. We're confident that you are meant for better things. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. I'm meant for better things. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're meant for better things, guys. You're meant for better things. I'm confident that you are meant for better things. Things that come with the package of what? Salvation. Now you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've given your life to the Lord, so you can expect better things. Jesus said it like this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest of it will take care of itself, honey. Just get it right first. Get the foundation right. I'm confident that you're meant for better things. Things that come with salvation. Fringe benefits of being a child of the living God. For God is not unjust. Come on, y'all. Listen to this passage. Let the passage preach. He will not forget. Thank you, Lord, for not forgetting how hard you worked for him and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Paul said you comfort others with the comfort you yourself have received from God. He told that to the church at Corinth. And he said, I hadn't forgot how you've given of yourself. You've expended your abilities and your talents and your anointing and your blessing. And you've touched other people. I haven't forgot about that. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. In other words, don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, what did he say? You'll reap if you faint not. Come on, y'all. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. How many of y'all hoping for something this morning? Come on, just lift your hands to the Lord. I'm hoping for something. I'm hoping for something. God has his hand on you. He says, you are hoping for something that will come true. Verse 12, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are doing or going to inherit God's promises because of two reasons. Pastor Joy mentioned it earlier. Faith, okay, and then endurance. I'm amazed how God has knit this service together. Shouldn't be surprised at the Holy Ghost. But God's knit the songs. He's knit the comments. He's knit everything together. Your faith and your endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Oh, here we go, y'all. There was God's promise to Abraham. For those of you that are wondering, I'm in the New Living Translation. Slightly different from the King James, glory to God. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, this is what the Lord said to Abraham. Verse 14, I will certainly do what? Bless you. And I will multiply your descendants beyond number, sands on the beach, stars in the sky. Come on, y'all. That's the promise he gave him. That's bigger than the Waltons. I don't care how you look at it. Okay? I was talking to my son last night in Seattle, who I'll see in a few days. He was talking about restaurants and getting a... He said, you know what? It's funny, Dad. He said, we sat down to eat as a family, and he said, we can't even have a sandwich with just one loaf of bread. That's not my problem, bud. You did that. Okay? Seven in the household. How many slices of bread on a loaf? 22. So if the guys eat two sandwiches, we got a problem. We got to have two loaves. Okay? All right. Got to have two loaves. But God's going to give him more kids. I'm just so excited about it. We always wanted 12, didn't we, Joy? We're going to get them. I think we're going to get them all through Josh if we're not careful. Okay. The verse 15 says what? Then Abraham, what did he do? Waited patiently. How many of y'all are good at waiting patiently? Not me. And he received what God has promised. Now, the writer of Hebrews here didn't tell you the pitfalls. Okay, he didn't tell you the bad spots, okay? So I'm going to highlight them for you. Not that I'm trying to pick in on Abraham here. Most of you know the biblical story. God called Abraham. He told him to leave his country and wait. Now listen, I just discovered just a few years ago studying the life of Abraham, I had it in my mind that Abraham was just a gray-haired man, you know, nice beard, had some beard oil on it, kept it all sweet. And that when the Lord spoke to him, get up, get out of your country, it was a matter of him just calling Sarah, Sarah, load up the donkey, baby, we're going to get out of town. No, sir. Abraham was a tremendous entrepreneur and a man of wealth. Just under 400 in his entourage. And so to move takes faith. To move takes work. To move takes organization, administration. To move. Abraham is moving because God said move, okay? He told him to leave his country. He says wait for fulfillment of all that God would promise him, for even the place that I'll show you. Genesis 12 verses 1 to 7. Got a lot of Bible in here this morning. Don't let it be more than you read all week. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Look at all these promises. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And on all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was, here we go, y'all, mark this down. He was how old? 75 when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah's nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated. I told you, it wasn't an easy move. And the people they had acquired. He's got a bunch of folk working with him and working for him. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Morah and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. We got a problem. God's given us a land, but it's inhabited. Okay? The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, take a look, man. To your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord. Got his worship team together. I'm gonna wait on you. He's worshiping God. He's building the fire. He's got an altar there, and he's worshiping God because he can see what God is promising him. Listen, see that land there? I'm gonna give you that land. I've stood in that spot, man. What a view. And while I love that Abraham is the father of many nations, and Abraham did receive the promise of God, and Abraham did exemplify faith by offering his son on the altar later, as you know, Mount Moriah, God showed up with the ram in the bush. Abraham rightfully is the father of the faith. But he did have some flaws in his waiting. Abraham reached a place, Jeff, where he felt like God was wavering. God's not doing exactly what he said he was going to do. You ever felt like that? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be a liar sitting right here in the house of the Lord. Feel like God's not doing what God said he would do. He said he would give me seed. He said he would give me offspring that outnumber the sands on the beach, the stars in the sky. He said that Sarah, my wife, would bear a child. It's been years. Abraham was 75. We just read it to you when God gave him the promise. He's now 86, some 11 years later. No baby. Abraham got tired of the wait. How many of you are saying to God today, Lord, I'm tired of the wait. Lord, it's been years. Lord, where are you? Lord, you promised. Lord, what am I doing? Lord, here we go. This is the worst one. People say this all the time. Pastor, I just believe God's punishing me. We make God a punitive God. Come on. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We make God one who loves to just punish somebody, put them in time out. No. This is not God's character. If you're in time out, you put yourself there. Come on, that was weak, y'all. I got Pastor Mike and Pastor Joy. I said, if you're in timeout, you put yourself there. That's better. Man, it's bad when you got to fight for amens, okay? So Abraham and Sarah commit with a plan to try to, guys, what are you doing? Trying to help God. Along with fulfilling his promise. I'm going to just tell you something right quick. Don't help God. Sarah gives her handmaiden, this Egyptian gal named Hagar, gives her to her husband. Can't you just see her right now? Hey, Abraham, what you think, bud? Wouldn't it have been nice if MC Hammer would have showed up and said, don't touch this, boom, 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 boom. That would have been nice, but it didn't happen that way. Okay, some of y'all didn't get that. You're too young. Abraham and Hagar produced a son. And what was his name? Ishmael. Genesis 16, verse 1 to 5. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children. I'm just telling you the story, but I'm backing it up with the Bible, okay? Best to do that. She had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years before Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. Then Sarah said to Abram, this is all your fault. Okay. Somebody say, pass the blame, y'all. Come on. It's your fault. You're the head. Okay. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treat me like a dog. That's my translation. She's treating me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. And because of that, we have this Ishmaelite offspring. For lack of a better way of saying it, the Arab people. Come on, the Arabs. I've been there. I've been in the Middle East so many times. We have the Arabs who received, here we go, y'all, hold on, who received the blessings of God. Side note, all that oil in the ground over there, you know, you got any oil in your backyard? I don't think so. Any in North Carolina? Not that I know of. But there's a bunch of oil over there in that Middle Eastern. It is loaded with oil. All that oil in the ground in the land of the Middle East, here we go, was supposed to be for the purpose of financing and promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, it's being used to propagate Islam. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling through. All that is black gold, Texas tea. Y'all with me? Okay. I'm sorry, guys. My illustrations fit a criteria of people that live as long as I've lived. All right. Reese is sitting here every Sunday. She's looking at me like, what's he talking about? Right, Reese? No, come on. You've seen the Beverly Hillbillies, haven't you? Come on, Reese. You haven't. Listen, Google. Come, listen to it today. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Watch the man shoot at some food, and then this black stuff comes rolling out of the earth. Okay? And he loaded up the truck, and where'd he go, y'all? Beverly Hills. Movie stars. Y'all come back now, you hear? Okay. I got some people right in my pocket. The rest of them's like, what's Pastor? What's wrong with Pastor today? Okay. just Google Beverly Hillbillies, okay? All that oil, all those millions of dollars could have prospered the kingdom of God, but instead, God has allowed, somebody say aloud, God has allowed it to prosper our worst enemy of the gospel, Islam. On September the 11th, I get on a plane and I go to Pakistan. Okay? Last week, just for your information, they burned 30 churches down last week. Threw all the Bibles in the street and set them on fire. That's where I'm going to preach, okay? Just thought I'd let you know so you can pray for me, okay? 30 churches they torched and burned their Bibles and their Christian literature and all of their possessions, okay, in Pakistan, the Middle East. And God allowed them to have all that oil to, and I've been in the airports over there. Man, Abu Dhabi, greatest airport in the world. I've sat over there, Rico, with guys who are just sitting in beautiful white linen, adorned, spotless, Rolex watches for sale in the airport, you know? $38,000, $50,000, $70,000 for a watch in that little tiny speck of the earth we call the Middle East. God allowed that blessing to come. You know why? Because God keeps his what? He keeps his promises. No matter what, sometimes you have to wait. Don't help God. Don't intervene where you're not needed. Don't waver in the promise that God gives you. God, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, is not slack concerning any of his promises. So hey, you know, hey, I'm gonna let the blessing come to that child. You should have waited for Isaac. You should have waited. You should have not doubted. You should have not helped. God is faithful. And he did fulfill what he promised. We're going to have an Isaac. Okay? Genesis 21, 1 to 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he'd promised. Sarah became pregnant and she bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time that God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, he might be old, but God has brought me laughter. Okay? And everyone who hears about this gonna laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. God is faithful. God is so faithful. He will do what he says he will do. So 14 years after Ishmael, Isaac, that promised son, was born. 25 years in all. Do the math. 25 years in all before God fulfills the promise. God's going to promise you something, but it might be 25 years before you see it come to pass. Numbers 23, 19. God is not a human. Okay, here's why. God is not a human that he should do what? That he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Despite where we find ourselves today sometimes, let me just tell you, God's not like us. He's not going to fail. He's inerrant. He's without error. He's perfect. We're imperfect. You can take what God says, not to the bank. You can take it to your heart, to your very soul, to your mind, to your will, to your emotions. The enemy, listen, I want to tell you as we come to a close here, the enemy has one thing in mind. He has one thing in mind, and that is to distract you from God's will for your life, to distract you from God's plan for your life, and he wants to cause you to question God, to doubt God, to move ahead of God. Be careful, friends. He wants you to move ahead of God. Get ahead of God rather than wait on him. If you visit in the Garden of Eden in your Bible, go to the book of beginnings, Genesis. You'll discover that that was the very thing that Satan tossed out at Eve. Did God really say? Come on, she starts to receive that temptation of doubt. Did God really say? God did not really say. He gets a little bolder. And it results in what? The fall. Be careful. Be careful not to be distracted. Satan wanted to convince Eve that she could never trust God and that God's intentions and his purpose for them was not good. Satan wanted to convince her that she could never trust God. John 10:10, in the King James. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal your peace that you have with him. Steal the plans, destroy the plans that he has for you. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10 in the New Living Translation. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life, fulfilled in the plans and the purposes of God. Let me tell you, your rich life, your satisfying life, your abundant life, your full life, whatever translation you're reading, comes when you surrender totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and you wait on him for everything. You wait on God. You wait on him for relationships. Okay? Come on now. I know some people don't wait. But you wait on him for relationships. You wait until you know because you know because you know. You say, Pastor, how long did you and Pastor Joy wait? That's really not important, okay? No. I knew. Somebody say knew. I knew that God had set me up the very first night I went out with her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to marry this girl. And I said, Lord, what? No. Ho. I'm not even wanting marriage, okay? And the Lord plainly spoke to me, you're going to marry this girl, okay? You know, God has a variety of ways in which he speaks to us and sets us up. And for some, you might be dating somebody for 7 years and say, well, you know what? I just think we ought to call it quits. Everybody's different. Everybody hears differently. Everybody hears in a different manner. So you wait for God. It might be a short wait, might be a long wait, but no matter what, wait for God to speak. You wait on him for the salvation of your family. You wait on him for your finance and your provision. You wait on him. You know, I hear people complain, oh, you know, I'm just having a hard time financially. Well, I got a couple of questions for you. Do you tithe your income? That's the first one. Do you show God that you are thoroughly convinced that he owns it all? And you're willing to slice 10% out of your paycheck and give it to him in worship. Not begrudgingly, not, well, here it is, you require it, good luck, okay? Good luck. But you give with your heart because you know that this is God's plan. You wait on him. You give and you wait for finance and provision. You wait on him for wisdom. You wait on him for guidance. Isaiah 40, 31. Corey sang it so well this morning. Corey spoke it so well this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not become weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 27, 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 33, 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My whole being, everything about me, my whole being, mind, body, and spirit, I wait for the Lord. In his word do I put my hope. Abraham, bless his heart, he learned to wait on God. And when God truly put him to the test of his life, he waited wholeheartedly. He did it wholeheartedly. Man, he failed one time. Not going to do this again. Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham! Yes, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Some people say, man, I don't get this. Listen, he was in the midst of an area that it was very common on a regular basis for people to sacrifice their children. The next morning, Abraham gets up early. Now listen, if God would have told me to lay my son on the altar, I think I'd have been late. But the Bible says he gets up early, he saddles the donkey, took two of his servants with him along with his son Isaac, chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering, and set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey. Look at what this man of faith says. You stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy, Isaac, and me, we're going to travel a little farther. We're going to worship there, and then we will come right back to you, okay? He's already declared victory. Come on. Some of y'all can't even declare victory over little things. He has his son hanging in the balance, and he declares victory. We're going to worship God, and we coming back to you. So Abraham placed the wood on the burnt offering for Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them walked on together. Pop, got a question for you. Yes, son. We got the fire. We got the wood. Where's the sheep? You know, that Abraham, bless his heart, he could have said, bah, okay, you know, I'm glad he didn't, okay. He didn't. What did he say? Listen, God's going to provide. So they walked together. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar in the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. And in parentheses, and this time you waited. Okay? You have withheld from me. You have not withheld from me, even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. So Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. God is God even when you are waiting. Waiting doesn't need to reveal anything to you about God. Here we go. Waiting is not really designed to reveal things to you about God and his character. Waiting will reveal things to you about you. Come on, y'all. I said waiting will reveal things to you about you. You know, I'm glad God hasn't chosen long waits for me, because I can go to the grocery store and lose my cool. I can get in traffic and just go off. What is this? Some idiot up there. You know, I'm just going off. In fact, just a few days ago, my wife could tell you if she was going to bear the story, but I'm not going to give you names. I just want to protect the innocent. Something happened, and quickly, she can tell you, I laid blame, didn't I? I said, what does so-and-so think they're doing? Some of y'all think I'm going to slip. I ain't going to slip. What are they doing? What are they doing? Why in the world? And she stopped me. She said, honey, why are you blaming them? I said, because I know that it's them. This was 2 weeks ago, Corey. She said, you don't know that it was them. I said, yes, I do. I got a text message this morning. Guess what, y'all? It wasn't them. And as God is my witness, what were the first words out of my mouth? I said, Lord, forgive me. I did. First words out of my mouth. Because I blamed them. And I knew I was right. You know why I was right? Because I like to be right. Okay? But I was wrong. Okay? Have you had to wait? Are you waiting now? Are you open to learning that God has not forsaken you just because you're waiting? He's not punishing you. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit today. Listen, this is deeper than the line at Disney World. This is more than heavy traffic that makes you late for a meeting. This is bigger than a long line at Walmart. God is working, and he's working in the waiting. I asked a couple of people as I was prepping this message. I asked a friend who had had a long season of waiting that extended to 20 years. I'm waiting for God to just open up, and it went 20 years. And my question was, what has the wait done for you, and what have you learned from the waiting? And this is what my friend said to me. Waiting taught me something about myself. It taught me that I didn't really believe that God truly loved me. Listen, guys. 20 years, it taught me that I didn't really fully believe that God truly loved me. I thought that my wait was because I was unloved. There again, you make God punitive. And he said this, he said, I know now that my waiting was really an act of worship. So I would say this, it's how you wait that really counts. Come on, y'all. It's how you wait that really counts. Ask a second friend about their waiting. Waiting on something that God had, that felt that they that God had promised them. And this is what they said. Wait, and it's never come to pass. This person told me that God said, I'm going to give this to you. And you can even start to talk about him. His name is going to be, you know. Even purchase clothes for him. Because I lost my husband, but God said, I'm going to give you a replacement, a second husband, since he's deceased, and his name is John. What size clothes does he wear? He wears an extra large. So they bought clothes. Can I just tell you? John hasn't showed up. What's going on, Pastor? Some things I cannot explain. If I can, you'll hear me, okay? You'll hear me loud and clear. So what has this waiting shown you? Waiting has proven that I'm really the one that needed work, not God. Waiting revealed that I myself was selfish and I wanted it all my way, despite the plans that God had for me. Waiting showed me that I was impatient and that I really didn't trust God. Waiting is a virtue of the Spirit. Can you stand with me this morning? Waiting is a virtue of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait, I want you to underscore this. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like an eagle. That word wait's interesting. It's kava in the Hebrew. Kava. It's to be collected. I dug into this, man. It's a deep word. To bind together. To bind what? All of your emotions. All of your feelings. To take them captive. Come on, y'all. Kava. It's to be collected. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, he seems to be calm and collected? It's to bind together. It's an internal thing. To be calm and to be expected, to hope. Listen, you know the frustrations of the lines, all of you do. Long lines, long waits, or even you're currently 1 hour from the beginning of the Space Mountain ride. But life's realities show us that sometimes the Lord just says, wait, hurry up. Wait. Could I just invite you this morning to join me? To just step out of your seat and just come. And let's just do this together. It's a lost art in a lot of Pentecostal churches. Pastor Troy, I remember when I was dating this girl right here. I remember that I wandered in. Come on, step out of your seat and come on. I remember that I wandered into this relationship with Joy, and she was a Pentecostal girl. And I grew up in the Baptist church. I wasn't familiar with this, but the church was at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. So what time would we go to church? 5 o'clock. Wait a minute, I thought you said church was at 7. But we went to church at 5. Why? Because the pastor had opened up all the Sunday school classes. And he said, listen, just find yourself a place to pray. And Holly, you know what we were praying for? The service that started at 7. We prayed for 2 hours that God, would you meet us here tonight by the power of your Spirit, God? Would you move upon Pastor Underwood? Would you anoint him with the Holy Ghost, God? Would you empower him, God, to preach the gospel with signs and wonders, Lord? Would you show up, God, for us tonight? 2 hours we prayed. You know what we did? We waited. We waited on God. Call a prayer meeting in the 21st century church, and good luck. Good luck. They don't like to wait. Move in a little closer if you would. There are others trying to get here. Come on, wait on the Lord. Just raise your hands where you are right now. Come on, just begin to pray in that heavenly language that God has given you today. Come on, pray in the Holy Spirit. God, I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm trusting you, God. I'm waiting in your presence. I'm calm. I'm collected, Lord. And if you're not, worship God anyway. I worship you, God. I worship you, God. I worship you. Wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh,
He will renew.
We bless you, Lord.
Shall mount up on wings
choice but to wait on you.
Listen to that declaration. I'm gonna wait on you, Lord.
I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm tasting your goodness.
Trust in your
promise.
I'm gonna wait on you.
No matter how long it takes.
I'm gonna wait on you.
I'll stay here forever and ever and ever.
I'm tasting your goodness.
Forever and
trust
ever.
Trust in your promise.
Would to God that if you would grab any one thing out of the message today, it will be this. Waiting doesn't need to reveal anything to you about God. Listen, God is perfect. You could list God's character. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. He's patient. God is patience. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is gentle. He's the good shepherd. Look at the titles of Jesus. Okay? So waiting doesn't need to reveal anything to you about God. Rather, waiting should reveal to you things about yourself. If I was on Facebook now, I'd say, boom. In fact, I think I'll post that later today. Waiting will reveal things to you about you. In fact, in my notes, you know what I put down there? Repeat that. Okay. Repeat that. Because God, listen, he says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Okay? He's steadfast. Okay? He's faithful. So my waiting is not God's punishment. My waiting is God's patience for me to get it. Okay? Lord, I get this. I get this. Lord, I thank you. Wow. You know what? I think this message ministered to me as much as it did anybody. Okay? Because I'm hearing the Lord in this. And I don't know if it's because God's going to have me to wait on something. I have no idea. If he does, so be it. Okay? You can get, listen, you can have a tantrum all you want to. You know, you have a tantrum. It ain't going to change God, okay? You don't say, well, I'm going to show God. You ain't going to show God nothing. You ain't going to show him nothing. Well, I'm going to make him angry. No, you're not. You've done enough to make him angry, and he ain't got angry at you yet, okay? Why? Because he loves you. And his love is what? Unconditional, okay? See, you want to make it sloppy agape. No, it's agape. Lord, I pray for your people today. Lord, I thank you that from the moment that we stepped in here today till even now, you've ordered our steps. You've spoken to us. We've worshiped you, and you touched your people. And I pray that as we leave this place today, God, we leave with a greater perspective on waiting. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise, would you? Hey, thank you, online audience, for watching today. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate you sharing at Carpenter Shop International Church. Do us a favor. Look at the right bottom of your screen. Just hit share. Share it with a neighbor. Share it with a friend. Share it with your social media list. And we appreciate you for being here. God bless you all. If you're a guest, please go by the table in the foyer there. And we have a gift for you. God bless you. Bless you, my friend. God bless you, sir. Appreciate you coming.